Our great God and loving Father, we come before you this evening. We come to worship you. And we come before you to give you thanks. We thank you, Father, for taking care of us. Thank you, Father, that through the Lord Jesus Christ and through what he has done for us, you have saved us. You have rescued us. You have saved us from sin. You have saved us from ourselves. You have saved us from under the dominion of the enemy, Satan. You have saved us from eternal condemnation. You have saved us from separation from you. And Father, we thank you that since you have saved us, you have been looking after us in terms of our spiritual needs. Thank you, Father, that you day by day strengthen our faith in you. And thank you for giving us your word. It's a guide for us while we are traveling in this wilderness. And we are traveling towards our eternal home. Thank you, Father, for your word. For it is our food while we are still here. Thank you for your word, for it tells us about you, about your love, about the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself to us. Thank you for taking care of us and giving us this word. Father, help us to love you and to love your word. And thank you, Father, also for taking care of us in terms of physical needs. You have been looking after us. When we think back, each and every one of us would remember many situations and hardships you have rescued us from. Father, we thank you, for you are our loving Father. Father, we pray this evening for what has been going on around us in this world. And we know that you are the sovereign Lord. We know that everything happens in this world happens according to a plan, divine plan from you. And you have purposes. So Father, we pray that you would fulfill your purposes. Some people can see that God is judging the world or judging Australia. Some other people can see that God is drawing people to himself. And actually, either way, your purpose is to draw people to yourself. So Father, we pray that many people will respond to your call of love, loving call. You call people to yourself, for you love them. So we pray, Father, that many people would respond to you and to your love. Father, we pray for a revival you give us in Australia. We are waiting before you, and we are waiting that you would work in the hearts of people, and people would recognize that people in general in this country have turned back, have turned away from you. So we pray that you will, that they will turn back to you, and this is the real revival you will give us. Father, we pray also for our pastor, Pastor Johnny, while he's away. We pray for his time there, and we pray that you would bring him safely to us so that he would resume his responsibilities and his work here for the Lord. Thank you, Father, that he is really a faithful man, and that he is he loves your word, and he teaches and preaches your word here. So Father, we pray for him, and we pray that you would give him much harvest in the work of the kingdom here in this church and also in other churches. Father, we pray for every and each one standing before you now. And we pray that you would speak to our hearts, for we need you and we need your word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And we want to look at the Word of God together in John's Gospel chapter 5, as we read this chapter together. John's Gospel chapter 5, and the topic is a sign of mercy and revelation. A sign of mercy and revelation. As we read in John's Gospel chapter 5, the Lord Jesus heals a paralyzed man on the pool of Bethesda by the sheep gate. Bethesda means house of mercy. And the sheep gate, one of the gates on the wall of Jerusalem, the sheep gate is the gate from where they would take the sheep into the city for sacrifices. So, in the house of mercy, this man could not find a cure for his sickness or for his illness. And also, all the sacrifices of the Jewish people offered, they claimed to be offering them to God in the temple of Jerusalem. By all these sacrifices, he benefited nothing at all, because they didn't really offer sacrifices to God from their hearts. They forget that God wants mercy, not a sacrifice. So they neglected the mercy, and their hearts were away from God. That's why they could benefit, they could give nothing to this man. And we know that John's Gospel mentions eight miracles mentioned in John's Gospel, only eight miracles. But John's Gospel actually chooses some miracles, chosen miracles, and all of these miracles can reveal the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chosen miracles. And John's Gospel calls these miracles signs. Signs to prove that Jesus is the Son of God. The first point I want to speak about is a compassionate sign. This sign, healing the paralyzed man by the pool of Bethesda, is a compassionate sign. We have here a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, all of them are lying around the pool of Bethesda. Among this multitude, there is a certain man who has an infirmity for 38 years. 38 years. That's an age long. 38 years. It's easy to utter 38, to say utter 38, but it's very, very hard to go through this experience. 38 years he has been sick. And I imagine him have wounds all over his body from lying that long, lying down that long. So he would have wounds in his body. This man is lying down next to the pool of Bethesda for the hope of cure. But actually, he is frustrated. He is frustrated. No one would help him to get into the pool when the water of the pool is stirred up. No one would help him. So he has been frustrated. The gospel says that the angel would come down at a certain time into the pool and would stir up the water. Then whoever steps in first, after the stirring up of the water, he would be made well from whatever disease he had. What happens exactly here in this water and about stirring up the water of Bethesda? The water actually had minerals. The water has minerals. The water of Bethesda, the pool of Bethesda, has minerals. And it is fed from under, by underground channel, water coming into this pool through underground channel. And when the water comes into the pool, when the water runs into the pool through this underground channel, what happens? The water of the pool is stirred up. And when the water of the pool is stirred up, the curing work of the minerals would do its work. You know, the minerals usually can cure from some sicknesses. So when the water is stirred up and the minerals would move up, that would help the minerals to do its work. But the Jews believe that an angel would come down to move or stir up the water of the pool of Bethesda. But in fact, that was just a belief in their minds. Just understanding their minds. But the angels, as we understand from the word of God, the angels never heal anyone. Go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you would find nowhere in the Bible an angel healing a sick man or a sick person. Only God is our healer. He says to us in the book of Exodus chapter 15, I am the Lord who heals you. So stirring up the water was from a water running into the pool from underground channel, not from an angel. The Lord heals this paralyzed man out of compassion. Out of compassion. As we know from the story, the man doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he doesn't ask him. The man doesn't ask the Lord Jesus to heal him. But the Lord goes to him out of compassion and says to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. You know, there are some sick people in the Bible or in the New Testament, the Gospels, who ask the Lord Jesus to heal them. But there are also some sick people or even dead people who don't ask the Lord to heal them, or their relatives, their family members, don't ask the Lord to raise up them from the dead. But the Lord Jesus, out of compassion, does that with them. Like, for example, the Lord raised the dead son of the widow in Nain in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. And also the Lord heals a woman who is bent for 18 years. He heals her in the temple. The Lord heals the born blind man out of compassion in John's Gospel, chapter 9. Even Lazarus, his sisters asked the Lord to go and heal him. But after he died, his sisters didn't ask the Lord to heal, to raise him up from the dead. But even they objected to the Lord when the Lord said, take away the stone. They didn't ask him to raise him up from the dead. But the Lord Jesus did that out of compassion. And so the Lord goes to this man, to this paralyzed man, to heal him out of compassion. Do you want to be made well? And after that, he said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. We notice that all of these people, their condition is too bad. Someone is sick for 38 years. Someone is dead. A woman who is bent for 18 years. Someone who has been blind since birth. All of these people, their condition is really bad. The Lord goes to these people to heal them or to raise them up from the dead, just out of his compassion. The Lord wants to do miracles, to save sinners, to heal sick people whose condition is really bad. Whose condition is really bad. Don't try to think to yourself, oh, I'm not really a good person. I have been a sinner for long. And I have been in the church for a long time. And I'm still a sinner. I haven't been saved. Would the Lord save me? Yes. The Lord would go to those people whose condition, spiritual condition, or if they are sick, physical condition, whose condition is really bad, and the Lord wants to save them or to heal them. The Lord goes to this paralyzed man and says to him, do you want to be made well? Why does the Lord ask him if he wants to be healed or not? Why is the Lord asking him first? Because the Lord gives everyone the freedom of choice. He doesn't force anyone to receive his gift of salvation or his gift of healing. He wants us to be willing to receive his gifts from him. This, of course, doesn't go against that our condition, we are dead in sins and in trespasses. And dead people can do nothing for themselves. But at the same time, the Lord Jesus gives us freedom. Do you want to get saved? Do you want to be healed? He gives us freedom. He wants you to be willing to receive the gifts from him. The Lord says to the man, rise, take up your bed and walk. The man doesn't say to the Lord, "Sir, I've told you that I'm unable to even to move. When I want to get into the pool, someone comes before me and no one would help me. Why do you tell me to rise and take up my bed? I can't move. Why do you say that to me?" But actually he obeys the Lord. He obeys the Lord. This is faith. He obeys the Lord. He can see that this man, yes, he doesn't help, he doesn't wait with him until the water is stirred up or moved. He doesn't wait with him to help him get into the pool. But he can see, this man can see that Jesus, he doesn't know Jesus, he doesn't know that he is the Christ, he doesn't know that he can heal him, but he can see that he is talking with him in a compassionate way. And he can see the love in his eyes and in his looking at him. That's why he can trust what the Lord Jesus says to him, and he obeys the Lord. And when he obeys the Lord by faith, he finds himself is healed. He finds himself healed. The Lord tells the man to take up his bed and walk. The bed is not something heavy to carry. It is just a mat. It is just a mat. But the Lord actually, the Lord Jesus doesn't want to show people, look, he is now very healthy and can carry the bed, because the bed is not something heavy. It's just a mat. But the Lord wants to tell the man what he was tied to, now he is loosed from. The bed that used to carry him, now he is carrying the bed. The Lord Jesus wants to tell the man that now he has got his freedom. He was tied to his bed and lying on his bed for 38 years. But now he is loosed from this slavery. The Lord Jesus has loosened him. Explains our condition, spiritual condition as Christians. You know, the people who are still away from the Lord Jesus Christ, they are sinners and they are slaves to sin. And they are even sold under sin. As Paul says in Romans chapter 7, "I am carnal, sold under sin." That's the condition of people who are away from the Lord. Or even a believer who neglects to have fellowship with the Lord and obey, who neglects to obey the commandments of the Lord. "I am carnal, sold under sin." But when he has received the gift of salvation by grace from the Lord, Paul says to him, "Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." By the power of the Lord, who lives within us, we can conquer sin. and we can be free from sin, and Satan wouldn't have any dominion over us. It's also this sign of compassion, and it's also a sign that causing anger, a sign that is causing anger. The Lord Jesus does a great miracle, healing a person who has been paralyzed for 38 years. A miracle no one can perform, but only God. Only God. It's the first miracle the Lord Jesus does in Jerusalem. This is the first miracle he does in Jerusalem. And so the Jewish religious leaders can see it. And thus they get angry because he has demonstrated, by performing this miracle, he has demonstrated that he is the Christ, the Son of God. That's why they get angry from the Lord Jesus, and they get angry at him. They want to condemn him. They try to find something against him to accuse him, and they cannot. So they accuse him of breaking the Sabbath. You have done this on the Sabbath. They accuse him of breaking the Sabbath. They say to the healed man, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He says to them, he who made me well, the man says to the Jews, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they say to him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? Not please. The man says to them, he who healed me told me to take up my bed and walk. And they ask him, where is this man who told you to take up your bed? No, they don't ask him, where is this man who has healed you? This is more important. He has healed him. Why are you asking about taking up the bed and walking with the bed? They hate the Lord Jesus Christ, and they want to deny that he has done this great miracle. They want also to accuse him of breaking the Sabbath. The Jews know that Jesus is the one who has healed the man. They know that. Yet they talk to the man and condemn him, and they don't dare talk to Jesus. That's what happens always from the Jews. Whenever the Lord Jesus does a miracle, performs a miracle, they talk to the people with whom the Lord Jesus does the miracle. And they don't dare talk to the Lord Jesus until the Lord Jesus initiates talking with them. They can reply back to him. That's it. But they don't dare talking to him. Why don't they talk to Jesus directly? Because they are a bunch of cowards. They know that they are wrong. And because they know that they are wrong, that's why they are cowards. They are scared because they know that they are wrong. Whenever, if I do something wrong, I would be scared. I would be a coward. But when I do the right thing, you wouldn't be afraid from anyone. When you do the right thing, you are not scared from anyone or from anything, because you are doing the right thing. The most coward one is Satan. That's why the followers of Satan are cowards, because Satan himself is really coward. The Apostle James says of him, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The one who flees is the coward one. Don't be scared from Satan. But when you resist him, when you fight him back, he will flee from you. And especially when we do the right things, when we don't do wrong things, when we don't sin, we are not afraid, we are not scared from anything. Because we are not the followers, or we don't follow the coward one, Satan. About keeping the Sabbath, the fourth commandment in the book of Exodus chapter 20 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And the prophet Jeremiah says in chapter 17, thus says the Lord. Follow this verse, please, with me. In chapter 17, Jeremiah says, thus says the Lord, take heed yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. We see here from these two references, Exodus 20 and Jeremiah 17, that God commanded his people not to do work for living in the Sabbath. Don't carry things out of Jerusalem or carry into Jerusalem for trading. Don't carry things out of Jerusalem to sell them. And don't bring something into Jerusalem, inside the walls of Jerusalem, to buy them. This is what the Lord commanded them to do. Sadly, the Jews interpreted the fourth commandment regarding keeping the Sabbath and put into their tradition 30 things people shouldn't do on the Sabbath. One of them was carrying the sick bed. And what kind of bed were they talking about? As I said, it's just a mat. The Greek word for bed here in verses 8 and 9 actually means a mat. It's not something heavy that needs big effort to carry. He is not doing something big. He's just carrying the mat he's lying on. They willingly forget that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And willingly forget that God said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. The Lord a few times said to them, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. Brethren, sticking to what the Word of God says, what exactly the Word of God says, is essential for our faith and for our deeds. We should stick to the word of God. What are the commandments of God saying to us? And we should follow. This sign also is a revealing sign. Is a revealing sign. Verse 13 tells us that the one who was healed did not know who it was who healed him, for Jesus had withdrawn. What an amazing grace. This man doesn't know Christ, yet Christ has healed him. Doesn't know him, yet he has healed him. We didn't know the Lord, yet he knew us and he has saved us. We didn't know him. He initiated. He knew us. He loved us. And he has saved us. He says in Isaiah 45, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. He has called us by name, even though we didn't know him. What an amazing grace. What a wonderful love of God towards us. Jesus has withdrawn because he has done a sign showing that he is the Christ. The multitude would probably try to take him and make him a king. And he doesn't want a royal throne away from the cross. He doesn't want to be a king before he goes to the cross. He has been crowned as the king of all the believers and even the kings of the universe by his death and resurrection. After his death and resurrection, he has sat down at the right hand of the power, at the right hand of the majesty, and he has been declared as the king. The Jewish leaders know that no one can do such signs, but only the Christ. They know that. The Lord goes to the man in the temple and tells him about himself, that he is the Christ, so that he would go and tell those coward Jews in the temple that Christ, Jesus Christ, has healed him. So they start persecuting Jesus and seek to kill him because he has healed a man on the Sabbath. Actually, the real reason they persecute the Lord Jesus, not because he has healed the man, but because he has done something no one can do but God. And by doing this, he has revealed himself that he is the Christ, the Son of God. That's why they hate him and they persecute him. Then the Lord Jesus tells them directly and clearly that he is the Son of God. In verse 17, he says to them plainly, My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Yes, what I have done is the work of God. And I still have been working the works of God, As the Father works, I do the same works because I am His Son. That's why they seek the more. They have been seeking more to kill Him because He claimed to be the Son of God, making Himself equal with God. That's why they persecute Him. Therefore, now the Jews are seeking all the more to kill Jesus, not because He has broken the Sabbath or He has healed the man, but because He has proclaimed Himself clearly that He is the Son of God. Furthermore, He tells them that He will do greater works. He will raise the dead. He will judge everyone. He gives eternal life to everyone who believes in Him. He tells them that He does things only God does. They are furious even more at Jesus. They are angry even more at Him because He has declared and proclaimed Himself to them as the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And we need to believe in Him as the Son of God, or God the Son. Then we can receive the gifts of salvation, the gifts of healing. If we need healing and His way is to heal us, we just receive from Him upon believing that He is the Son of God and He is the one whom God has sent to us to save us. Brethren, sin has made people paralyzed. The only way for anyone to be healed and to be made whole is to believe in Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God, and to receive His salvation. We should have compassion also. After we have been saved, we should have compassion on people, as the Lord Jesus had compassion, and still He has compassion on people. He had compassion on this man and others, and He healed them. We should also have compassion on people, and so we proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior. We proclaim Him to them, the only one who can rescue them, who can save them from sin and from condemnation. We should proclaim the Son of God boldly and not back off from this proclamation. He is the Son of God, and He is the only way to God. He is the only Savior. Only by believing in Him and receiving Him as the Savior by faith, people can be saved. We should, we must proclaim Him as the only Savior. Let's do that. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. You are a great God, and Your Son is wonderful, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is wonderful in His love. He is wonderful in His person. He is wonderful in His love. He is wonderful in His grace. He is wonderful in His salvation. He is the only one who can save. His name is Jesus. for he saves his people from their sins. Father, we pray that everyone here, all of us, every and each one of us, would examine himself. Have I received salvation from him? Am I in faith? Help us, Father, to examine ourselves in your presence. And help us also, as the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, to proclaim him to people around us. In his precious name we pray. Amen.